It's time now for another edition of Joy of Union with our hosts, Joy Regina Melchizedek and T.J. Ryan. It's Joy Regina Melchizedek from Pennsylvania, Middletown, Pennsylvania, everybody. Let's give her a round of applause.
I can hear every angel, fairy, and the souls of the people standing up doing this, you know, the whole clapping thing.
Oh.
Thank you for having me back, Brother Tejas.
It is so good to have you again back on the radio or on our podcast. And, you know, we recently got back in touch, and it's been crazy busy for me, so I haven't even been doing hardly any podcasts, and I kind of lost my luster a little bit on that, and then got a little pep talk the other day when somebody, I talked to someone. You know that person?
Yeah, I kind of do. I do. It seems like when we get together, if one of us is rum, the other goes, oh, come on. And then we go.
Yep.
And it's such a gift to have that. And the thing is, I feel it's two-way, you know, because, you know, it's very easy during this time to kind of lose focus on what excites you because there's so much stuff going on.
Yeah.
So you have anchors that bring you back to that. It really is a deep soul gift, and that is why I call you my soul brother. There's this anchor in my life that you bring that helps to keep the excitement on board. I can't imagine you ever being bored, though, so we can't have that, you know?
No, I just, you know, it's, I kind of been thinking about, boy, it'd be nice not to have to go to work at all. It'd be nice to, you know, to still maybe do some of this stuff, but I'd love to sleep in. I miss that. It's like a lot of days I'm getting up early. It's not bad, you know. It's not a big deal. It's what you make of it. But, you know, you start to get a little older and you go, how many years have I been doing this? Well, that's kind of what we're going to talk about in this upcoming episode, because both you and I thought the one thing, you know, the world is so divided, this country is so divided, and people are focusing on this or that. And we're not going to, I'm not here to bash or create more division. I know what's going on. You know what's going on. And we're here to unite. And so it was this great wise being called Joy that told me, we should do a show about freedom. And I had been thinking, she must be psychic, because I was thinking, you know, I want to do a show. I thought this about 6 months ago. I kind of want to do a show about freedom, just so we remind ourselves of what we have, what we can have, and I think where we're going. So, Joy, if you don't mind, it's been so long. Would you tell our listener, I'm sorry, listeners, I might have more than one, tell our listener, if you don't mind, tell them about your journey and whatever you want to share.
Okay. Well, you know, it's interesting you bring that up.
More.
I just completed a book that took me 13 years to write. I was encouraged to do this from Flo Magdalena, and I did not want to do this book, and it's a story of my life, but it's got a twist. It's written by me, seven dead relatives, and the soul of a baby I almost had.
Wow.
And the book, it's about how to get free. It's about how to get free from limitations physically, emotionally, intellectually, spiritually, on all levels, how to live the mastery and the oneness we're here to live. So in the book, there are things that I share, which are shocking and raw, and, you know, after this book is published, I'll hide out for a few years.
Yeah.
But in there are modalities and pieces of the story that talk about what did get me free and what did help me break free and where also, what are the things that keep us trapped? See, a lot of times people have this sense of, I'm stuck, I feel confined, but what is the unconscious doing to promote that?
Mm-hmm.
So this book, it kind of goes into that. I think most of the listeners know, especially if there's one.
Yeah.
I was born a conscious channel for Christ, and in my 33rd year, I really broke loose from every ounce of doctrine studying that I had done for 33 years and like really got into metaphysics. And I, in doing that, it introduced me to the journey of freedom on a whole new level. I stopped working the regular jobs and, you know, everything about me that I was trying to conform into a regular box fell away. Everything. And it was because, you know, when I was a kid, I would look around and see waitresses, and I would see people doing all kinds of jobs, like working as tellers and whatever. And I was talking to dead people and Jesus and whoever else was popping in. And I kind of went, huh, this is what they're doing here. So I'll go do that.
Right.
So I think I went through 500 jobs, probably 50 waitress jobs, and I ran cosmetic stores. I worked in a drug and alcohol rehab with men that were court stipulated from prison. I have a long list of things, and I had one philosophy with all that, and it was, I'm going to do this till it isn't fun anymore. And the day it stopped being fun, I handed in whatever I had, and I walked out. Didn't matter what was going on in my life, God. So I look at those things, but the compelling force that pushed me with that was my heart and my soul. It was a conscious choice that I had to make, but it was the energy of my heart and soul that pushed me to break free. And I broke free every time it became intolerable where I was. So, and are you with me?
I am.
How
I'm
am
just.
I doing?
You're doing great. And it's, you know, I don't know if we ever laid it out like this. I think we might have a long time ago, but it's so nice to hear that journey because, you know, I don't know if people have listened to all the podcasts, and you have your own website, which we always mirror the broadcast, so it'll run on this site and your site. But, you know, it's nice again to hear it. Thank you for sharing that. Is there more you want to share on that, Joy?
Sure. So with the breaking free, this was my journey. I'm not saying everybody's journey is identical. Some people, you know, they stay, like you work in broadcasting, and because you work in broadcasting, it gives you access to many people.
Yeah.
And I feel that you're there and you go through and hang with that job partially because you affect so many people through that that stream, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it's on. You know, the way you choose to do it may change, but the actual experience of it, you know, it's important work. It's very important work. You're a light in the world, and whether it's through a podcast or a broadcast, whichever, whether it looks like it's something that's every day, your energy goes out there. And it affects people. So my journey was what it was because this is what I signed up for. Somebody had to do this one, so I said, okay. But, you know, eventually through the studying and everything, I worked to expand. So I work as a medium, as a conscious channel, and I work to support children with total health and well-being. I founded an organization for them, and it's also focused on world peace. And there's an ongoing theme in the work I do, and a lot of it is about getting free, breaking free from patterns, breaking free from all manner of things. So with your story, Tejas, how did you break free?
How did I break free? I don't know if I've broken free. As far as like, you know, I've been following the same job because I like it, but you know, at some point I would love not to have to work. And I just like to have some fun and do what I want to do, because most of my life has been spent doing things that pay the bills or being of service to others or so forth. And I like the stuff that's being of service, and I enjoy the metaphysical, but I don't know. I just want to be free. Free from having to go to work, free from having to pay bills, free from having to worry about paying electricity. I want to live in a world where everything, you know, and I believe we're heading that direction, you know, that that we are going to be, we think our jobs are, you know, not controlling us, but they are. You know, we live in a world, I think, that was designed, if you want to call it a matrix, designed to where we have to do all these things, check all these boxes, okay, you know, and you could choose not to do any of that and be dependent on others or maybe be homeless or whatever, you know. I think everybody has a choice and whatever they choose. But I like living in a home. So I guess, you know, and being able to buy food, and I'm willing to work to get it. But I see that there's so much more, that, and we're so caught up in all the things we do around us that we maybe lose sight of what the real vision for all of us, I think, could be. Does that make any sense?
Sure. And what I think you're describing is that people have adapted to living in the third dimension and trying to figure out how to do it comfortably. And I think that's what you're describing.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, now, I know you and I discussed this, and I like to say, well, 5D is already existing, and we have that with us now, and there are different doorways to access that. Twin flame connections will push you to go to 5D. You know, the living the soul choice will push you to go to 5D. Living from the passion in your heart will push you to go to 5D. Caring for children will do that. Co-creating together in community will do that. There's all these different anchors that have links to 5D. So it's almost like the evolution of the co-creation of heaven on earth, which is the 5D reality. It exists utilizing whatever door we tap into. And if we tap into one door, we have access to the frequency in all the areas in our life. It's making choices from the fifth dimension that seems to open out to free us. It's saying, for example, I know for years you talked about having a broadcasting company, right?
Well, it wasn't really a broadcast. It was more of like just linking together with others and creating like a podcast, you know, a series of people that would do we would have a site, and it would be a one place that you could go to and find all different types of people talking about whether it was healing or whether it was channeling or whether it was, you know, whatever. Any kind of metaphysical.
Yeah.
Offer like a one-stop shop, your one-stop metaphysical shop right here, and boom, you can listen to this and that kind of thing.
And is that something that's still in your heart?
Not really. No, it's not. It's like I just want to be free, to be honest with you.
Okay. So define what freedom is, not what you let go of, but what, if, let's say, if you are free, what does that look like? How are you living?
Well, you know, I have done some research, as you know, probably on a lot of different things. So I believe there are things being withheld from us as far as technology. Mm-hmm. So if we have free energy, for example, which I do believe exists, the ancients knew about free energy with the pyramids and maybe other things, they're holding that back, I believe, and we could all not have to worry about paying an electric bill or heating bill. So these are things, if they were removed and or if they were allowed to come forward, we wouldn't have to deal with that. So we wouldn't need to work as much. You know, we could also, our jobs, I think, were put in place to keep us, so we got to keep going to make enough money to survive. And I remember we did a channeling session, maybe the last time we talked about the Nesara, and you said it potentially could come forward. And if there's any truth in that, then it's a redistribution of wealth so that everybody is going to receive, every person is going to receive a chunk of dough so they can pursue life as they see fit and not have to be on the hamster wheel. And so this is my idea of freedom. It's like, that would be the ultimate thing. I still would probably do some things. Maybe I would do some things to, just for the fun of it, earn a little extra, just give, donate it, whatever. But, you know, I wouldn't be entirely without, but it would be on my schedule as to what I want to do, when I want to do it. And this is what I see, the whole world is kind of trapped in this matrix in order to sustain, just to survive for another day. Some people are living day to day. A lot of people are just barely getting enough to survive. And there will be, should be abundance for all. And if there's abundance for all, then we have no lack for anything. And as we continue to go down the road of 5D, then I believe we'll have the ability to create food. If that's what we even need in these new bodies, we can create it with our thoughts, you know, if we're going to become these ascended masters. So all these things that we limit us on the planet, some of which are by design in my mind, and those would go away. That's my ultimate dream of freedom.
So what you're describing is very interesting. Even before our call, I was thinking of Jesus, and I was thinking of Siddhartha and the masters. And the key to the freedom they lived was to raise their frequency. There was a period right around when I first shifted from working with just the J-man to kind of integrating working with the goddess and the ones with no names, and I think that was in 1992, I was heavily involved in investigating ascension groups. And it was all about raising your frequency. During that period of time, I lived itinerant. I had no home. I had no car. And I would just show up from one town to another and manifest everything I needed. And I learned that now I had manifested my way out of homelessness and a bunch of things. So, you know, it was kind of like on the job adventures that showed me what keeping our frequency up could do. And like I am someone who it's very interesting. I'm really into living the integrity of my heart and my truth. And so it requires of me to not just say, oh, that thing, you can do that thing. It requires of me to go live it, you know? So during that period of time, all these things I was studying, I kept having to live it, live it, live it. And I started to become a little visible, which was a huge leap for me. And then I just kept pushing through. But during that period of time, I did have experiences of like manifesting bread from nothing and working on people. And when I'd work on them, I'd look under the massage tables and crystals and things that were needed for their sessions would show up. So to me, I'm not saying, oh, look at me. I'm saying, hey, this is what we're meant to be able to do. This is very natural. Working with the fairies, in Finehorn, they grow food in the middle of rocks because they work in cooperation with the nature of people. See, it's not to me. Freedom isn't going to be found in the mundane. It's not going to be found according to all these studies and everything. It's in frequency, it's in experience, and it's in those places where the magic of oneness exists. And the fairies are like all on board with helping us now, and the angels and the masters, and there is a space in our souls that we are at oneness with them, and really nothing is denied from us. I heard it said in a little tiny book written by this guy, Jonathan Livingston Seagull, the author, Richard Bach. And this statement, I heard this when I was like 22 or something like that last week, and the statement, thank you, I like that. Statement was, argue for your limitations, and sure enough, they're yours. And when I heard that, it was like this bell went off, and I got really excited because I was like, oh, that means we are limitless. We are limitless.
Right, I believe.
Yeah, and you know that. And the thing is, this is just my perception. Because energy, like there's all kinds of energies floating around right now, it's easier for people to step in to the denser frequencies because you hear more about it. And this is where living the mastery is a consistent practice of joy. It's actually a joy because it requires of you to keep your frequency up. So, walking in nature, dancing, swimming, connecting with the beauty of creation can assist in bringing frequency up. And then when you focus and feel what you want to create, you feed that. You feed that, put it into the oneness, you can magnify it back. The thing is, when you feel it as if it's existing. See, that's a piece in manifesting. Sometimes people forget. It's the experience of feeling it brings it into existence.
It's the emotion of, what was the old, there was a formula that some, one of those positive thinking folks, but I thought it was pretty a good little formula. It was imagination times emotion equals reality, something like that. It was a simple formula, but I thought that's pretty cool because that's happened to me before when I put myself and stay in that, and you desire something up to a certain point. I mean, if you ask, keep asking for it, then what happens, right? You're
Well, if you keep asking for it, you forget it exists.
Yeah, it's like
What
you do.
you
Go
do,
ahead.
you keep saying thank you for its existing. Like I'll see these posts. I look at Facebook, and I like to go on Facebook because there's, I have all these different friends, and it's one of the quickest ways I can put stuff out there really easy. And one of the things I really like to do is put out positive posts all the time. And I notice there are a lot of attempts on Facebook that'll say things like, well, you know, next week at 3 o'clock, you're going to be a billionaire. And if you believe that, push amen or something, right? And, you know, the thing that's missing is people forget they're in a state of waiting. So even Jesus would walk around and say, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's now. It's not next week. It's not when we die. It's now. And if there is a question, and believe me, it's not like I've never dealt with anything. My book will show you different. And the other thing is I got COVID, you know, and what I did, I got it before there was any antidote. I had to heal myself. They didn't know what it was. So, you know, I used what I had frequency-wise, you know. So, and I know if something's available to me, it's available to everyone because we're all one, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So, what I'm trying to say is in that piece of manifesting what you want, the acknowledgement of its existence is important. So let's say I have, every once in a while I'll teach these classes on manifestation, which are really reminders to those who come that they're here to live masterfully. That's what it is. The class is a reminder of what you know that you forgot. Mm-hmm. That's all any class is.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, at least in my world.
Right.
But you may talk to people who say different, but I just feel that it's in all of us. So
why would it not be, right?
Exactly. So the thing we nurture is the thing that'll grow.
Yep.
So Excellent. If you nurture the weed or the doubt, that'll grow.
Mm-hmm.
If you nurture the rose, which is the knowing and the reality of heaven in the moment, it continues to grow. It expands.
Would you and also...
I'm sorry.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was going to say, wouldn't you say with all that's changing right now and more light being available here, isn't that, in a way, speeding up, accelerating, and maybe in some ways we can actually, you know, I was saying the number, I told you how I kept seeing the number 222, and I know 222 is about balance, but it's also, I think, is about manifesting. And
it is.
And those that say that manifesting is really speeding up now because of what's happening on the planet and what's happening to all of us. So... it might have taken you in a different time period a little harder, a little longer to create things. Do you feel that is changing?
Well, here's the thing, too. 222 is also the number of mastery, okay?
Hmm.
So here we go again, you know.
Coincidence. I think it's all coincidence.
It's all coincidence. That's right. And I think rather than waking up to the manifestations happening quicker, I think people are waking up to the knowing that they are divine and can manifest.
Oh, so it's more quicker. So that's what's making it quicker. We're knowing it, which is the same as what I call a strong faith. So we have this faith that maybe we didn't have at one time. And therefore, because more, why is this happening now? Because more light is coming in? What is your answer to that, Joy?
But it's the, and now, you know, I share my perceptions or things I've learned, and in my knowing, it's the coming together of all ages. So quantum physics teaches no time or space, and that reality has become stronger and stronger for people, that waking up to that knowing, because that is what's happening. So if we, in what I see, there's a goddess Kali. She's a destroyer, and she's also a creatrix, okay? So she will get rid of what doesn't work, and she'll work with what is and create. So her energy is really active, all right? And that energy is not out there. It's inside of us. So the things that aren't working, however you want to look at it, some people look at it and say, oh, you know, it's happening because of, you know, this group over here or there. It's like, no, what I see is any division that is occurring is serving us to come together in a new way. So it's not right or wrong, good or bad. It's the evolution of the creation force that is making present heaven on earth in the moment. And in order for that to happen, there has to be space to allot what is growing. So what doesn't work has to go, you know?
So, and I think we're seeing, again, without naming names or attacking, because they're all, you know, everybody at their core is a being of pure love. And
yeah,
the roles we play, or maybe we get lost in the matrix a bit and we think, you know, we draw things in and we become something maybe that we're really not at all. So there's kind of like two courses. You can pick a role or you can kind of fall into it while you're here on this planet. But from recent individuals who will remain nameless, we've seen what we really don't want. At least that's the way I see it. We're seeing more and more and more of what we don't want. And so part of what this conversation I was going to have with you is we need to know, we're shown so often in life what we don't want. And it helps us to know what we do want. And my question
exactly.
is to you, what is it that we want?
Well, I can't speak for the whole of humanity because everybody has their own different definition.
But I mean on a universal, I'm sorry, go ahead.
On a universal concept.
Yeah.
Every soul at their core, because we all started from the same place. I don't care if it be a murderer, victim, whoever. At the core, every soul desires union or oneness.
Mm-hmm.
So the drive, even when people murder, at the split second where there is someone doing the murdering and someone being murdered, they go into a state of oneness through breath. So the drive to murder is a drive for oneness. But I'm not advocating anyone go out and murder anyone
for
the sake of oneness.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I'm just giving that as an extreme example, okay?
Yes.
Because where we think, if we look at things logically, we may think, oh, it's that person's desire to destroy that created that. But on a soul level, the experience is very different. So the place I'm speaking from is the place where the soul exists in oneness,
mm-hmm.
in its purest state. The drive is for a oneness and to live that through a human form, a spirit and form, in a world that supports the co-creation and the reality of this heaven on earth. This is part of the reason why I encourage or support or offer sessions that support people to raise their frequency, because you go deeper into that space of the
mm-hmm.
soul and the heart,
mm-hmm.
which puts you more in touch with what you truly want. A lot of times if working with people, I'll say, okay, what do you want? And if they don't have an answer, 9 out of 10 times I can tell you, it's because their mind is in the way of the vision of what they want.
Hmm.
Or they may be sick and feel their vibration is so low, they can't get it here, so they have to go someplace else to get it.
When you say go someplace else, you're talking about transitioning to another place.
Yeah, they may die. Okay. And that's fine. We're in a time of rendering right now. And during times of rendering, mass amounts of souls leave the planet. That is a form of freedom for them.
Mm-hmm.
They're going someplace to get whatever they need to get free for their soul.
Do you feel in any way, because I've heard so many different things said about this, and I guess I'm not sure where I stand, because I always stand with love. Whatever comes across as love is going to be the ultimate answer. But do you feel there are some that maybe don't want this to happen and at some level of their consciousness, and maybe they're going to go to another place where they can continue to hang on to what they like about this place right now?
I feel that there are many dimensions, many, many dimensions, not just third, fourth, fifth, sixth. There's countless. And creation never stops creating. So if there is a need that a soul has to experience that as part of their evolution, because every soul in whatever degree, at whatever rate, will evolve because creation energy is in them. I feel that there are dimensions where people may go and put themselves on pause, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There are times when I've worked with in the mediumship way, where I have seen souls just sit next to their body and not go to the light right away. It's like they had to sit there. They didn't go, you know. That happens sometimes, but that doesn't mean it's an eternal sentence, okay?
Right. It's eventually you're gonna snap out of it. But I think there's a lot of people maybe that really like, maybe not a lot, but there's some that like the 3D experience, even with all the drama and the turmoil. And I guess my thought on that was, well, Earth is going to change and their vibration may force them to leave. But I would think in the universe of love, there's always going to be like a kindergarten that you can go play in till you're ready for first grade, and then second, and so forth. You can skip all the grades in a moment. That's what ascension really is about, right? We're going to go from kindergarten to, hey, I just graduated college. Look at me.
Yeah. But what you're saying, it's very much what I'm saying. If there is a need or a dimension where souls feel like they need to have that experience, they'll go there.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's their reality.
Right.
You know, it's interesting. It kind of brings me to a place of where you hear different people talk about the existence of hell. Like, is that real, you know? And to those who believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
They'll experience it until they feel the threat of grace.
Not only that, I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. I just want to interject something here. And you can tell me to shut up. You can tell Tejas to shut up if you want to.
Keep going.
Okay. Anyway.
Keep going.
When you say that, there has been research done, just to back up what you're saying, Joy, about people who've had near-death experiences, and they found themselves in a very dark place, a hell that they created and believed in. And the moment they reached out for the light, ask the light or God or angels or whatever, they were pulled out of there. So that's just my two cents on that.
Yes. And when you share that, I can see it and I'm getting chills. Mm. And it's like my heart is so happy for them. I swear that they let go of that. You know, it's a very beautiful thing. It's freedom.
Mm-hmm.
It's freedom from the illusion of density and separation, because separation is an illusion. We all came from and came in as one. Everything people take on from birth is a learned fear, except for the fear of falling. And the reason is because a child comes out of the birth canal. It's the fear of falling from God. That's their first fear. And every other fear, every other pattern, you know, kind of materializes as they grow. So we come in free. Think of a little child, you know, when they're walking around, they want to investigate. They have no limitation around them. So they're free spirits. I think, and I know I'm referring to Jesus today, but I rather do like him. I actually love him. He's a cool dude.
Is he?
I call him J-Man. Yeah.
He
the whole free spirit thing, I think of, you know, he would say, come to me as little children. And when he would say that, I think he really said that because he was saying, come to me fearless.
Hmm.
Come to me without fear and let's light up the world, you know? So, yeah.
And, you know, and those of us, those that haven't maybe been familiar with you, it's been quite a while, I think, since we've done something. But, you know, some of the things that we've talked about in the past, you talked about separation. If people aren't familiar with these terms, maybe they don't quite understand what you're talking about. But we've, on different broadcasts, talked about we came from oneness. We came to this planet. And I don't think this planet was always the way it is now. But there was... Can you tell us a little bit about the agreement, as you know it, that was made, and that was part for separation, right?
Yeah, I'm sharing from a place of a kind of a memory that I have, which is back at the beginning of creation. And, you know, remember, there is no time or space, so
right.
It's kind of like I'm just tapping into that. But my knowing is that the source, the God, goddess, and its desire to experience itself created the free will experiment and the desire to experience itself in many different ways came through by the manifestation of the human. So there is an aspect of the divine in everyone. Inside of the DNA, the name Yahweh is spelled out there. They scientifically have proven it. So the reason for that is because you can't get away from the thumbprint that divinity is in you. You can't. Whether you live it or not, or whether you live in a state of amnesia from it, you know, that can be part of your soul's design. It can be choice. It can be karma. It can be a lot of things. But the actual choice for the source to experience itself in many forms created the first experience where the source would also branch out and experience itself in a forgetful state, which created separation, it created violence, it created all these denser experiences. Does that make sense?
Yes, I wanted to go at a little bit, because I think there was a time when we came here and we might have been fully aware, even going down into a lower vibration of physical, we might have been had more like light bodies at one time when we first arrived, and we were fully aware. And then the more we got involved in the human wanting to be that. But there also, you talked about, and some other folks that you're connected with, you talk about the fall of the divine feminine, which was really an agreement. Mm-hmm. And so I think there was a time, I've been feeling this, I think there was a time when we were much more aware, maybe not fully, we were much more aware when we had those energies balanced. Would you talk about that a little bit?
Well, here's the thing. I'm going to share this perception, which, you know, I don't know if I shared this or not. My memory is that it was the feminine frequency that birthed the masculine. Remember, it's women who give birth.
Mm-hmm.
So it was from the great void, or her great womb, the existence of God manifested, you know, through as light into the womb. So the evolution of creation and the memory of that lived out for thousands of years before Christ. So there were goddess temples, and there were all these different deities and all these aspects of her imprinted everywhere. Now, what happened, I believe it was in 2000, well, it was 2000, not 2000, but 2,000 years, 20 year, 22 years ago, there was an agreement between the god and the goddess that if that the masculine deity, God, would rule, and if at the end of 2,000 years, there was no way to peace or oneness, the divine feminine would step forward again. And in doing so, she would lead and have a space of equality for the masculine as well. So this is the time of union, of the sacred marriage. That is what's bringing everything together. Does that answer your question?
That is exactly what I was looking for. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So it only goes So it only goes back, you're saying, 2,000 years.
2022.
Right, correct. But I look at, like, for example, what the Mayans were saying, that it was a 26,000-year cycle, that we would go out of a certain age, and then, you know, the calendar supposedly ended, and people thought 2012 was the end of the world, but it was just actually us shifting into what some people call the Age of Aquarius, the golden age. So it almost seems like it was forced, like it was part of a cycle where we go through, and then there's like this, I think some of the Hindu beliefs that say we go through periods of light, we go through periods of darkness. Is there any of that, do you think, going on?
Well, remember, there are many, many schools of thoughts, and some of what you're describing are, civilizations, not primitive, but civilizations that existed before Christ came.
Mm-hmm.
And the grand design for what was to come was already being pinpointed away to bring it about, but these civilizations actually experienced the god and the goddess mm-hmm. in the ways that they knew the god and the goddess to be. But here's the thing, and it's interesting, because very often all these different spiritual experiences or ways of thinking make people think that it's all division, it's a divide, it's not something that's on the same track. But the ones with no names, who they're a body of enlightened knowledge responsible for maintaining order and truth throughout the universe, and Christ channeled them, and Magdalene worked with them 2,000 years ago. They once said through a channeling with Flo Magdalena that there were 12 continuums. And if you think of a wheel, okay, with 12 spokes, and the center point is the ultimate oneness and truth, they said during these times there would be an alignment for every soul to have one of those doors to get on. So in cases like these truths are one of those spokes that people can get on to get in the alignment, to connect with the oneness. This is how I see it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, there are hundreds and hundreds of truths, but there are 12 central truths that will lead to the point, a certain point. So that's what I'm seeing. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does, Divine One. Thank you. So,
my divine brother, I'm bowing.
Oh, please. Really? Hang on, let me bow. I don't know if I can get back up.
Hey, I wanted to actually share something. Mm-hmm. Speaking of the ones with no names and flow, something that's coming up,
mm-hmm.
which is really cool through soul support systems, you know. I know it looks like our time, believe it or not, is almost done.
Yes. But what would you like to share?
Quick. Well, there's going to be an International Heart Thread Day on February 13th, and Soul Support Systems and Heart Thread International are inviting everyone to a day of celebrating the heart. This is a special way to honor ourselves and to live in peace with each other by joining with the threads of our hearts. It's actually a process that can be done called Heart Thread. And during this day, there are going to be quite a few different ways to experience the Heart Thread work. There's a chance to experience Heart Thread themes, to receive a message, to work to have a process, to have children come in and experience things. So there's like a smorgasbord of ways to experience things. And if people want to find out more, they can go to Soul Support Systems. That's all smaller case, no spaces, .org. And get on the list for the newsletter, because there you'll see that and all kinds of things. And there'll be info on how to get on board. This feels like a very important event because it supports how we're uniting, and it supports us to go safely and honorably into the space of the heart and to shift some of those patterns that could actually block us from not receiving the freedom we so deserve, because we do. We deserve to live as free a sentient being in this life. So if you're interested, we'd love to have you join in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I know, I want you to know that whatever it is that supports you with feeling free, I'm going to suggest, even if you take a day, once a month, once a week, an hour a day, do a thing that helps you feel that freedom, whatever it is.
As long as I
just do it.
As long as I don't get arrested for that.
Well, if you do, I will bake a chocolate cake. Oh. I will come in.
Oh.
I will have little instruments, and I will break you out.
Little file and, you know, the problem
and
is,
not,
the problem is, you know what happens, Joy? You're going to show up, and I'm going to be eating the cake. Are you ready to go, TJ? Come on, hurry up. No, I'm not finished with the cake. Here come the guards. What? Uh-oh.
Well, I'll have you know, I do have a cousin, Vinny, and I am half Italian.
Oh,
so.
Okay. But it was nice.
Yeah, seriously.
It was nice to talk to you. And so freedom for all of us, really, to kind of wrap this up, from in my mind, is being unlimited without anything.
Yes.
And I think that's the goal of where we're going when we get to this fifth dimensional place, and That's what I'm yearning for. I want it to be here now, you know, and maybe have some people already ascended? Do you know of people who are already ascended already?
Well, here's the thing. I keep saying to you, step into it now, and then you're there. And you don't have to keep waiting.
Right.
You don't have to keep waiting. As a matter of fact, you know, I'm excited because there are many different modalities that you have experienced that are 5D modalities. So one of the things to support you may be to refresh in your CA pattern. Have you done that lately?
Well, I had my tires rotated. I don't know if that's similar.
Would you consider doing that?
Yeah, I would consider doing that. I would consider doing that.
Good. So. And if you do it each day, it's a 5D process.
Okay.
Okay.
Good.
And if anyone wants to know about that, you know, I'm floating around here. You know, I'm around, you know? And I would love to get together and for us to get together and share and do things more regularly if you're on board with that.
Yes, we plan on doing this. Well, we plan on at least doing it once a month, right? These kind of interviews.
Yes.
So.
Yes, we talked about that.
And we can talk.
Oh, cool.
You know, we can also, I guess we don't have to just talk during this. We can talk more frequently. And I've just been so, you know, avoiding all that stuff just because I felt overwhelmed, I think, and just busy and in a kind of a rut. Even though I'm happy and it's not like I'm complaining. It's just you get on that treadmill. And before you know it, it's like, holy cow, I haven't been in touch with anybody or done a lot of things. And so it's good to snap back out of it. And
And it's lovely to have you back out of it. I'm also very excited, too, because I am writing a new book. And this book, do you remember Morgan Le Fay? She came on and came out on the air with you.
Yeah.
Well, she has me writing a book that is like crazy. So at some point, maybe I'll share a tidbit of that with our listeners if that sounds like something you want to
experience. Yes, it does. It absolutely sounds like something. And as I recall, you told me I had some kind of connection to that era. And, you know, it seems to ring true that I've been very interested in that time period or those kind of things. And so, you know, I'm sure you and I have been around for many, many different things, as if many people, you know, have been around.
Yeah.
So. Anyway.
Yeah, you were a knight. I remember.
You do. Remember. You can remember me. What was I wearing? Like I have a little, one of those helmets, like, okay, Joy, I'm going to go out now. There's a patrol of the kingdom. Okay, I'll be back in a little bit. This helmet is really hard, you know. I can't even hardly talk to it. Was it like that?
I remember this. This is crazy. I remember you sitting at the round table, and I remember that the cloth you had on, remember, it wasn't just going out and doing armor and fighting in wars. You would dress very styling, and you had this blue, it was almost like a cobalt blue cloth, and there was gold threads that looked like a shield on the tunic that they wore then. It was really styling to you.
Was it really? You're telling me that I was styling back then. I can't even be styling now, but back then, I'm just kidding.
It's in you.
So,
I totally enjoyed being with you today and doing this.
Same.
Everyone, you know. So thank you for having me on.
You're welcome, and of course, this show will also be on Joy of Union, so we will be doing shows that will parallel on both of them, and if you want to find out, I think all of the shows that we've done together are on both sites, but if you want to double check, you can go and go to joyofunion.podbean.com, and there you'll find, it's been a long time, Joy, since we've done one for your website, but...
Yes, like over a year, maybe a year and a half.
And then you started to get some response to a couple of your shows, which was kind of interesting, and then you said Morgan Le Fay, somebody commented on that show. And that's kind of what got you motivated to, which is great. I'm glad that you felt, I'm always here, you know, but I don't try to initiate too often. Hey, Joy, we should do this. It's more like if Joy needs me, she knows I'm here. And once in a while, if I feel the need, I would get a hold of you as well.
Yes, and if you need me, I'm here. Always, you know? So if you have, like, a show you really want to do, you know, or a channel or anything, like we've done, you know, I'm here.
And one more, and there's one more thing I really want to say, because I don't know if I ever truly thanked you for those of you listening that don't know Joy. It was back in 2013 when I had some major stress in my life with my father-in-law getting sick, and my wife lost her job, and I developed a knot in my back, and this knot felt like shingles, like all my energies were pouring into one spot right in the middle of my back. And I tried a chiropractor, and I wasn't about to go get medications because that's not who I am. And Joy did three sessions with me over the phone while she was in Pennsylvania and I was in Michigan, and each time I felt a little better. And finally, on the third time, she said, okay, you're done. And I said, I don't know. Are you sure? Because I was kept thinking, I'm going to feel this pain when I get up. She said, nope, looks pretty clear to me. And I got up, and it was gone. And it's been gone ever since.
Wonderful.
And then Joy just happened to be up in Marquette a few years ago when she was teaching a woman by the name of Melissa Middleton. You know, Melissa, is she still doing that then?
Well, it's sometimes she may, but we're more in touch than anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you had asked me to be a guinea pig. Do you remember asking me to be the little guinea pig?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
And I said I would do that. What I don't think you knew at the time was that I had developed this carpal tunnel. I don't know if I ever told you that. And it was really, it was really pretty bad. And I would have to, it got to the point where I was taping napkins to my wrist when I was working in the studio. And I had heard about surgery, and I heard some people said it worked and didn't. I thought, no, I'm not going to worry about it for now. And so you invited me up there, and I went in there, and the energy was just incredible. And Melissa gently touched me, and for about 30 minutes, she talked to me, and then I talked to both you and the two gals there, right? And then I drove home, and I felt so energized. And over a two-week period, the pain went away. And after 3 weeks, it's been gone ever since. So there's the power in if people doubt, and I don't say that it works for everybody because healing's an inside job. I'm guessing you'd agree with that. But I can be a testimony to twice having been, and I had no expectations, having been some issues with my body cleared up. And we did the heart thread, and I don't know what Melissa called it that she did on me, but it certainly
it was heart thread.
It was a heart thread as well.
And yeah, because she was in training for that. Yes.
So
wow.
I don't know if I ever shared that with you, but Joy, thank you very much. You're a very giving person. And if you do want to contact her for any kind of service, it's really a fair price, what she charges. And I, from what I can say, it's worth it. It's definitely worth it.
Wow. Thank you for that, for sharing your story like that. And I'm so glad that you had those experiences and the pain has lifted. And you know, I continue to be at your service. And for anyone else, yes, who would like to contact me or experience something like that, you know, I'd be honored, very honored.
And with that,
thank
I think that's a,
that.
You're welcome. I think that's a perfect way for us to bow out of this program. Is there any last thought you want to leave us with this week?
Remember, please, each one, the coming together of all ages is now. And we have within us to make this world a truly divine, evolving space for all of us. The seeds are there. Just live the mission of your heart and souls. And remember, you are loved beyond measure, and there are endless team members with us at all times. And I want to thank you, TJ, again for having me on. It was truly a divine experience, you know, bro.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
And, yes. Much love to everyone.